I will be leaving. I will be leaving, though I will not be returning to Essex. I'm needed.
By a princess. You're no more a Dane than the priest here. You're a whore to the crown of Alfred.
You would do this to me. Again. I must. Yes, of course you must. You swore an oath. But you gave your word. And that is about reputation and honor. What my father gave to you, I now take back. You are no longer Uhtred Ragnarsson.
Ragnar, you cannot do that, please.
You are no longer my brother. This was a game to you.
Never.
Go. Before I kill you.
He does not leave.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So grab an ale, sit back and relax, and let's see how England was born. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake. And was it just me, or when they were playing the tug of war games, weren't you thinking of Squid Game the entire time?
I was not, but now I will not be able to unsee that.
All I could see was Squid Game and the old guy just leaning back the whole way.
Lean back.
You know? Yeah, that was... I'm like, why didn't they just do that? They would have won.
Had they watched Squid Game, they would know how to win. Exactly.
By the way, Squid Game Season 2 has been announced. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. It is coming. There's just no telling when or when filming will start or anything. So I'm sure that a lot of people will be very happy about that. Mary, just the quick aside, are you ready for Squid Game Season 2, or do you think Season 1 was just enough and that was it?
I'm all set. I'm done.
You know what? I'm kind of with you. Like, I thought that Season 1 was great. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Can I tell you something, though?
What?
I probably would still watch it.
I'll definitely watch it. Totally will watch it.
But here's the thing, like, yeah, as you said, complete aside, like, it didn't bring me joy. It was just, I want to get to the bottom of it, and we never really got to the bottom of it, so that's why we need Season 2. But it did not make me feel good.
Not a good feeling show.
No.
Not one where you're like, I need to be uplifted.
Yeah.
You know what? It is not Parks and Rec.
No.
No, not at all.
I definitely needed to cleanse my palate with some Hallmark Christmas movies after that, just to feel better about
Shields one.
Does she have one?
Yeah, she's got a new Christmas Netflix movie.
Good for her.
It takes place in Scotland.
Oh, right. Yes! Is it on now?
Yeah, it's on now.
I know what I'm doing. Because I gotta tell you, this episode did not make me feel good. This episode of The Last Kingdom made me feel really bad.
Well, how come?
Hello? Everything sucks.
Yeah.
For everyone. There's not a single happy person right now, except the witch, Skade.
Yeah, she's pretty happy.
She's like, I get to make out with whoever I want. Mm-hmm. Uhtred kind of wants me.
Does he, though?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or else he wouldn't keep her around. You don't keep people around if you don't want them.
Well, unless there's...
And he, like, kissed her, and he let her touch him, and he let her take... Listen, Uhtred right now, I'm not saying he like wants her, but he's DTF. If he was on Jersey Shore.
No butt stuff yet.
Yeah. Gross.
Remember when you said butt stuff?
Okay. Thanks, Blake. Yes. I think that he'd be like the skeevy guy on Jersey Shore that's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess.
He's the situation.
Yeah.
At the moment.
He's Mike the situation.
Does he call her a cab at the end of the night?
Yeah. He'd be like, okay, let's have sex and I'm going to like chain you back up. That's the essential Dane cab of
the Dane cab is chaining back up to the dungeon. Oh man,
I don't feel good, guys. I just don't feel good.
Doesn't feel good. All right, no. You ready to get into the show?
Yes.
All right, just wanted to remind you guys, of course, that this podcast is on all of the major podcast apps. You can find it anywhere. If you're not already subscribed, please do so, whether it is Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or even Spotify. It's all there. And of course, if you want to get in touch with Mary and myself, you can do so. Just go to all the social webs and you'll see us there, or email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com. And we do, of course, have to call out our great friends at jointhenerdclan.com. Go there to get amazing, great perks, especially for the holidays, since Mary and I are sending out holiday cards and gifts as well to all of the members at jointhenerdclan.com that are at a certain level. So please go ahead and do that. Are you ready, Marvin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's get it done.
Right. Here we are.
Oh, you gotta wait for the drop. There you go. Now, there you go.
So, in case you missed it, this is the episode where Uhtred, he's hanging out with his brother. He's hanging out with all the Danes. And all the Danes are like, I want to lead. I want to lead. I want to lead. And Uhtred says, Ragnar should lead. Great. We can all trust him. Let's do this. And then Father Bjarke shows up and he's like, shame on you, Uhtred. You were naughty to Alfred. By the way, I'm actually here because we're cool, but Princess Æthelflæd needs your help. So thanks. And then Uhtred says, I'm going to go help Princess Æthelflæd. Bye, Ragnar. I know you're my brother, and I know I just promised I would be on your team, and I love you with my whole heart, and Alfred's a dick, and Æthelflæd is 12, but whatevs, I'm going to go. By the way, I'm going to fight to the death for the witch Skeid because I think I do want to sleep with her.
Yeah.
None of that is true. None of what I just said is true, but you get the gist.
You get the idea.
You get the idea of how I feel about this episode and how I feel about Uhtred's choices.
So do you think it was a bad episode, or it just didn't make you feel great?
Didn't make me feel great, which, if you're new to me, that sometimes affects my rating.
Sure.
Yeah. How I feel.
All right.
I don't feel good.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's a very...
Everyone keeps saying, you're going to love Uhtred. You're going to love him. No, I still don't. I still love Bjarke. Still love him. Don't love Uhtred. Just want to smack him. What are you doing? Pick a freaking side and stick with it, okay?
Oh man. Okay,
so my shield's rating is a 4.5, and that's
lucky. Whoa, hold on, hold on. We got to get through the details here. We got fine. Some stuff.
Fine. Do it.
Mary's just ready to go. I am. She's done. She's cooked. She's got stuff happening.
Just angry.
Sorry, episode 303 of The Last Kingdom. Mary.
Otherwise known as Mary's Angry.
I know. Mary, this is the episode. Since we're getting 10 episodes this season because of the Netflix order for it, this is the beginning of, the beginning of the second act, or the very final part of the first act of this season. And we're getting much more. We're finally revealing the real conflict of what's going to happen, and that will carry us through the second act and into the third act of the season. It was directed by Andy DeEmony. I looked, once again, lots of British television, lots of British film. I could not find, I didn't recognize one thing except for like one film, and it's just like that was on the fringe of my knowledge. But Andy DeEmony is most known for films like Father Ted, Cutting It, also The Canterbury Tales, but in a TV film aspect, and also a film called The Wipers. And that is that. The writer, once again, is Stephen Bouchard, the showrunner for The Last Kingdom in season 3. That is that. Okay, Marvin, now it is time for you to give your
4.5, and that's generous.
Wow. Okay.
I'm mad.
So the Mary is mad. Mary's not in a good mood today.
Okay, let's just be real. Technology just made me upset. And you know, sometimes you get influenced by things outside of things.
Yes.
I'm being influenced right now by technology making me upset. There's nothing in this world that boils my blood.
So this is not an objective take.
No, I think
this
is
a totally
biased
take.
No, because we watched it a second time and I was like, meh, still. So I know I don't like this episode that much. And that's why I'm saying, even saying it's a 4.5 is generous. In my feeling, this is a 4 for how it left me.
Wow. Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right. Mine,
Can you tell I'm mad at Uhtred?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you're mad at Uhtred. Mine's a 4.85. Not necessarily as good as the last episode, but one that gets us going here. And there are some great things about it, and there are also some things that are just really questionable that I don't like. But that is that. Your GBG, Marvin, what do you got for your good, your bad, and your great?
Okay, so my good is that Leah Frick was back. Guess who's back? Back again. He's back. I don't remember.
Shady's back.
Yeah, I love him. I just love this interaction, the bromance. So I'm glad that he's back. That's my good. Is just bring on the ghost Leah Frick. Bring him back as often as you want, Netflix. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it. My bad is all the poor choices that Uhtred is making, that everyone is making. And I hate that Uhtred is more concerned. You know what it is? I just figured it out.
What is it?
Uhtred is more concerned about saving Alfred's kid than his own flipping kids.
You know what? You're not wrong. But his kid is in under good care.
It's under Hild, who had no idea this was a long-term doula situation, okay? We're talking about a newborn baby and some, like, other grown kids. Long-term she is doula. Supposed to be, like, opening her own church or a little convent or something. And Uhtred's just like, bye, I'm leaving. And she didn't get a credit card to use. She doesn't have the minivan keys. She doesn't know if they have any allergies. He's just like, bye, good luck with a newborn.
Here's some
and
hot
my
dogs.
Kids who are dealing with the grief that their mom is dead. Good luck, Hild. You know what? Hild deserves the best freaking Christmas present. I'm not talking about a fruit basket. I'm talking a car.
Trip to Maui.
Serious massages every day.
So many
massages. Does Uhtred at all say, he says one moment like when Bjarka and Tura come home and he's like, hey, yo, how's my kids? She's like, they're totally fine. It's great. And he's like, okay. When he has his inner conflict later and decides to undo the oath he just made to go to the guy who sucks and keeps breaking his deals with him, all because he wants to save that guy's kid, I wanted him to say, you know, I'm kind of, even though I am a Dane, like I like Wessex, I lived there a long time. Leah Fritch is in my head a lot saying like, you need to save Wessex, you need to save Wessex, but also my kids live there. So, you know, it's kind of like Sarah Jessica Parker doing Hocus Pocus 2 right now.
Yep.
Part of the reason probably they're doing Hocus Pocus 2 is because her son goes to Brown University, which is in Providence, Rhode Island. She was probably like, you know what? I'd love to do Hocus Pocus 2. Can you please do it near my kid?
Yep. Hashtag Rhodey Pride.
Uhtred doesn't even say, I would like to go be near my children. I would actually like to save my children in their home. I hate you. I hate you right now.
Does Hild get like the stone massages, like the hot stones, or is she one of those like deep tissue girls?
She can even get a happy ending for all I care. Good for her.
Boy, Marvin.
Hey, if Bianca gets a wife, she can have heart disease.
All right.
I mean, I'm not really into that kind of thing. I think those places do exist. I think there's one that there was one next to our diner that
yes,
said
there
like
was.
Happy foot spa. And I'm like, who gets a foot spa after a visit to the diner? Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those guys.
Ew, talk about indigestion. Anyway, I'm all set. I'm just crabby. I'm crabby because Uhtred's right. These Danes are a whole mess. Okay. Yep. They're pretty much Lord of the Flies. Good luck with that. But as a mother, I'm just mad at him.
I mean, it's not like he just up and left.
Yes, because he did.
Because he chose to. He up and left because he was going to get killed.
Yes. But the driving force to go back or to like fight isn't to get his own kids. He's not like, Tura, can you send a note to Hild to get my kids here? Can someone please bring me my kids?
That is a fair assessment. I will give you that.
It's Ethelfled, who is, what, 20 years younger than him? So is he supposed to be like 40 right now?
No, she's not supposed to be 20 years. I think he's 10 years older than she is.
Okay.
So what, he's in his 30s, she's in her 20s.
Fine. Still, whatever. That's Alfred's daughter. Alfred's a jerk. And save your own kids.
I think that's fair. All right, but you're great. What is your great?
That Bianca's back.
I love Father Bjarka.
And I thought he was going to ream him out. And really, he was there just to share a little insight. And I love Father Bjarka so much. So that was my great, but that is why this episode is not my favorite.
Fair enough. My good, my good is the editing. The editing in this episode was fantastic, particularly when Biak is reading the letter that Ethelfled sent to him, and he says, well, it seems like he's always the solution. All right, take us north to the solution. And then it was a smash cut right to Uhtred's profile, looking a little hesitant about what is happening in Dunholm at the moment. That is simple, yet very confident editing, that it doesn't have to give you the answer. It can show you the answer. That was awesome. I really liked that little bit. I have a few bads.
Welcome to my club.
And yeah, we're going to just ride the bads out here.
But I think if we shed them, we don't need to deal with them. Like, this was a beautifully shot episode. There were a lot of layers to it, but it just wasn't one that left me feeling good. So I think if we shed our bads, we don't need to lean into them the whole podcast episode. Is that fair?
Very fair. Very fair. So, all right, here are my few bads. The ship CGI when Biaka is out on the ocean. So bad.
The ship CGI is always bad.
I know, and it's one of those things where I kind of just have to let it be a little bit here.
Okay.
But I can't.
Okay.
Because it was that bad.
Okay.
It looked like a PlayStation 1 early days of graphics. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. Second bad, blood hair. And it's not that blood hair, the character is bad, not in love with him as a character, but the name. I can't do the name. When Ragnar is taking the vote to see, okay, will all these people follow behind me and we're going to change the literal course of history? He's like, all right, everybody. All right, we'll start with you, blood hair. Like, it just, it's so childish. I know that was a serious scene, but I couldn't take it seriously because it's like, okay, blood hair. It's the worst nickname. It's the worst. You call someone blood hair when you want to rank on them. You know, you don't call them that out of respect. That's one of those stupid names you give somebody, like, I don't know, tiny or red, you know, like, no, it's a stupid name. It's not a real nickname. It's something you use to make fun of somebody.
I appreciate that.
If the guy's enormous and you call him tiny.
Or explain the blood hair. Like, you know how
They did.
When? When they put all the blood on his head?
When the blood on his head. Yeah, yeah. That's the reason why they call him
blood
hair.
Well, he needs to do it more often, okay? You can't just be like a one-time blood hair. It needs to be like your daily ritual.
You just cut your wrists open just a little bit and put it all over your head.
No, oh, is that what she didn't cut her wrist? She slit her hand.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay,
all right, fair enough. And then also there's this last portion where the show, as much as I was just telling you that the show wasn't telling you what was happening, it was showing you. At this point, the program was telling you, and it was Ethelfled going to her little servant and saying, "You know what to do, right?" And she's, "Yes, milady, I know." And
I know.
It's like, no, you don't need that. You're showing Ethelfled handing over a letter. And you even get to the point where Ethelfled is telling her, go to Biaka and go to him first and alone. Like, that's it. See him first. You can infer what is happening. You don't need the, you know what to do. It's just, it's there for the sake of clarity. And I just wish that the show trusted its viewers a little bit more. That's my bad.
Okay.
But the great, of course, is the direction of this episode. As I turn my phone notifications off, rookie mistake, Blake. The direction of this episode, everything is so artfully composed. Mm-hmm. It is a very dark episode, meaning they're relying on not necessarily key lights, but they're relying on mood lighting, scene setting lighting. You know, oranges and red firelights and blue hues from the moon. This is a very artfully composed episode, especially in the beginning and where Uhtred is like doing like his practicing and like meditating with his sword, whatever it was, I don't know, but he was doing it. And also the shot where Osferth is speaking with Uhtred shortly after that. And the way that the camera just moves, it goes from Uhtred and then it shifts its perspective a little bit. And in the background, blurred out, is Leah Fritsch. What an amazing shot. Just that, again, it's all about perspective. Mm-hmm. It's all about showing you what's in the background, what's in the foreground. using that focus to your advantage, and how that it, what that resembles is how Leah Fritsch is always in Uhtred's back of his mind. He's always present there. We are only privy to it when we see it, but he's always there. That guilt, that
I didn't even notice it.
Association to Wessex is always there. So I fracking loved that shot in the direction of this episode.
Awesome.
So, Marvin, where do you want to begin with this episode?
Listen, I'm going to be real.
Yes.
I need you to begin because I just, you know, we've got the, let's get Alfred out of the way.
Okay.
That guy.
All right.
How many more episodes do you think
that
he's,
guy.
Yeah, he sucks. How much longer do you think he's going to be alive for?
Well, when Aylesworth says, Alfred, you'll never leave me.
Like, tomorrow.
That episode. Is a goddamn Garen fracking tea that he is croaking by the end of the season.
I want him to die next episode. But is it too soon? Does he need to see Ethelfled one more time?
Yes.
Will he see his daughter?
And I think he has to see Uhtred one last time.
Maybe Uhtred sees Ethelfled, brings her back to the castle, and was like, you lost your puppy. You're welcome.
Yeah.
And then he dies in Uhtred's hands, and he saves him.
Mary, that is, you know, a very good theory. We'll just do it right now.
You're welcome. You know when you find your neighbor's puppy and you pick it up and you're like, I'm not even a dog person. How do I even do this? Do you get in my car? Do I whistle to you? Then you bring it over and you're like, here's your dog. You lost it. You don't even know you lost it, but you lost it. That's what it'll be like.
And then you do like the thing from Home Alone 2 when they bring up the food and he's like sitting there with his hands and doing the money sign with his fingers. Rob Schneider.
Okay.
Expecting a tip.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And he gives him gum. And like, I love the next time he's like, would you like a tip? No, I have plenty of gum, sir. Thank you so much. He goes, okay, sure. And he pulls out a $100 bill.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to give you this. Good stuff. Yeah. I kind of like that theory that he has to bring back Ethelfled
to home.
And that's a great question because does that relationship, well, here are two separate questions. First, does the relationship between Uhtred and Alfred need to be amended? Like does it need to be Alfred mended
sucks.
Rather?
No.
Is it something that you feel like narratively it is complete and
as a Taurus, I will never forget Alfred and what he did.
So you'll never forgive him?
I'll never forget.
I'll never forget. Okay.
I'll forgive. But I'll never forget.
What won't you forget?
That he's a fickle fellow and he just puts his religion and the differences between who and Uhtred between him, even though Uhtred has saved his butt a million times. He should just say, you know, we've got different strokes for different folks, man, and I'm going to respect you. Because you know that if his wife hit the monk, she wouldn't be going through all this stuff. They'd be like, wow, we didn't expect him to die, and he was talking smack. You know, he just treats Uhtred so differently, and I think it's really rude. So,
yes, very fair.
And he's sickly. He's not getting anything done. He stinks as a leader. I'm all set. Move on. He's mean to his son. His son's in love. He already has a kid. Come on, Alfred. Your son doesn't want the job. Let him spread his wings and fly.
I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly. You know, Ethelwald does call it out, and I think it is worth mentioning, by the way, that Alfred, when he was younger, would bet anything that had a pulse. Mm-hmm. And his son is doing the same thing, and he's getting on his son. I get it. As a father, I don't want my son to make the same mistakes that I did. But on the other hand, you probably should be a little bit more understanding. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I think you should be more understanding of Uhtred.
Is it because Alfred has this line in this episode that actually hit home very like dearly to me.
Ooh.
Where it was what was the line? I even wrote it down. Hold on. I got it right here.
So deep.
It was like it like hit me when it was said, and I want to get the exact right line here. Come on, where is it? I wrote it down. Oh, this is gonna upset me. Hold on, I got it right here. Sorry. I'm
Blake
so sorry.
Actively takes notes on his phone as you watch the episodes. It's really rather cute. So, but Yeah, I'm done with Alfred. I'm ready for him to die. I'm ready to see the new class and see what they're up to. You know, he's just got a case of senioritis. Like, you're not really doing anything. You're still here. You're just kind of waiting your time out. And yet he still has this major influence over Uhtred. Okay,
all right, here it is. I got it. You shall never dare put at risk all that I have achieved. First, that, I think, is tipping us off to what exactly is going to be happening with Edward. He is absolutely going to be putting at risk everything that Alfred has achieved. My question to you, Mary, is... that comment is Alfred's interaction like that and his criticism of Edward, is that coming from a father perspective or is that coming from a king perspective, meaning you're putting at risk everything that I have achieved?
I think a king.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where things kind of go wrong for Alfred here. And I say that touches me very personally because, you know, without getting into too many details here, I've kind of gone through this process, not necessarily bedding a woman and having twins out of wedlock, but, you know, doing things at work or whatever. And my dad, who was my boss, saying something very similar to me. And it's not about being a father, it's not about being caring a parent, it's about the selfishness of everything that they have achieved, and they don't believe that you're doing it the best interest of whatever they've created. Mm-hmm. That can be scary. That can be very scary and very oppressing and oppressive for a son or a daughter or whoever is in the middle of that. So I don't know.
People need to stop relying upon other people. Okay. I mean, that's what it comes down
to. Well, I mean, as a king, you can't do that.
You can only be in charge of yourself. If your son doesn't want to run it, you're going to die at some point, buddy. So make a plan B.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And then I had a second thing that I wanted to talk to you about, concerning.
I used to be an optimist.
I know. now I can't remember what the heck it is. That upsets me.
It'll come back to you.
It will come back to me. So Alfred is in a tough position because he does have a kingdom to run and he does have, like, he has to go out and put on the chainmail and do the sword and.
Why? Where's he going? What did he get dressed up for?
To see his people. I mean, to do the things that he's got
to
do.
Go to what? Wave? I didn't see him do anything with that. He got all done up, and I was expecting a parade. Maybe he was going to go and be like, here we go, guys. There was no follow through. Got all done up, and I didn't get to see the final product. Did he even leave, or did he just go down the hall? What was he going to dress up for? I'm serious. Why did he need a sword?
Well, because I think he's going to go off and show. Remember, like, they would do. He had to. I thought our cat was about to do a hairball. Sorry. He had to go off and show the kingdom that he was healthy and well. And he.
This is why I need Zoom. Look what the queen's been able to accomplish.
Oh, things ain't looking good for the queen.
God rest her soul.
Not great, Bob.
Well, she ain't dead yet.
Oh, wait, God bless her. What? I don't know. What do you say? What do they say about the queen?
A tease and
all
peas.
Hail the queen. I don't know.
God save the queen.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank God rest her soul as if she's dead. I don't know. I'm not from there.
Half of Britain just
I'm a yank.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That wasn't meant at all in a bad way. Sorry.
That was so
I don't
funny.
Know the terms.
Alfred, overstepping a little bit here, taking Uhtred's kids.
Wait, he took them?
Yeah, he told Bianca to go get the kids and bring them to Winchester to have them taught by priests and become Christian. And
oh, no. I think that's fine.
You think that's fine?
I think that's fine. I think he realized Hilde bit off more than she could chew. She thought it was a one-night thing, 24-hour gig. He's like, who's watching these kids? He wants them to learn how to read and write. I think that's fine. You know, Uhtred was raised.
So you take this as
that's fine.
It's a purely altruistic move.
I mean, also, you're going to have to come get your kids at some point. It's going to be like Hook. You know when Hook takes the kids?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I raised him to be a pirate. Don't you want to be a pirate now instead of Peter Pan's son? He's like, I do love being a pirate. It's fun. Yeah, so maybe he'll say, oh, look it, I raised Christians. Whose side do you want to be on? Your Christian kids?
Yeah.
Or the Dane side? But Uhtred's going to have an even trade.
Run
my kids
home,
for your
Jack.
Kids.
Yeah. Run home, Jack.
Yeah. But he's going to have an even trade. Give me my kids back, and I'll give you your kid back. I've got an Ethelflaed. You've got Timmy, Joe, and Susan. Like, I don't know how many kids he even has now. But
I think he's got three.
And little baby Bobby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now he's got, I think he's got a fourth now.
Yeah, you're
right.
So there we go. Timmy, Joe, Susan, and little baby Bobby. There we go. I've named them all.
Interesting. I would just say that David Dawson has really, I mean, absolutely knocked it out of the park for this season. And he has been great as Alfred, you know, throughout the entire run. But there is this foreboding sense of death and finite time that Dawson is putting into each and every scene. You can feel it. You can see it. His eyes are watering when they're supposed to be watering. He's doing an excellent job. And as much as I don't like the move, I, unlike you, Mary, I see them as chess pieces for Alfred. And
I think that too, but I think it is the right thing.
Like I said, I've always said, say it with me now. It always goes back to the Godfather. It's like when he sends the fish and he says that Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. This is Alfred's way of saying your kids are going to be sleeping with the fishes real mm-hmm, soon. Mm-hmm. If you don't shore this up. I mean, I don't think he's going to kill them, but this is just a power move. And in my estimation, it is 100% within character for Alfred to do that. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. You know, and it's okay to have like ulterior motives. I think it's fine. I'm cool.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk
I'm
about
cool
the...
At least someone's caring about his kids.
Let's talk about Leah Fritsch here a little bit. Because Leah Fritsch, I think, is the best thing to happen to this season so far.
Since the back to school haircuts, you mean?
Yes.
Which I loved that Bianca came over and he's like, hi, Finnan. Hi, Osferth. Hi, guy who looks like a rat.
Dane who looks like a rat.
Yeah, Dane who looks like a rat. And he was like, my name's Cedric. And I loved it because I didn't recognize Cedric with his back to school haircut. For a while. So I'm glad, just in case they didn't know, if people may not know the new makeover, that it is him or just busting.
Does Bianca infer that Citric's wife has gone back to being a prostitute?
Yes.
Okay, just throwing that out there.
You know, it's okay. It's okay. Hey,
she's a working girl. I got no problem with that.
Yeah.
I get none. People got to put food on the table.
Yeah.
But I'm just...
No, but that was Bianca saying, you know, you need to go back home. Your honey's back in... Yeah. A house.
And she is loud. Dane boy who looks like a rat. Bianca's sense of humor really shines this episode, particularly that scene, but also when he is on the ship with Tura and he's like, I despise every moment that I'm on the seas. If God wished me to travel by water, he would have made me a fish. Oh, Bianca is great. He is just great. Love him.
He's my favorite. He's my absolute favorite, and he continues to be.
Let's continue on the path with Leah Fritsch here. What do you think about this? Does Leah Fritsch have, like,
is Uhtred, the ghost real?
Uhtred says to him, like, Osferth made his choice, and I'm glad I killed the monk. I'm glad I did it. But Leah Fritsch is saying, listen, chill out. You've made all these boys traitors, mm-hmm. and if you just did what you were supposed to do, you would still be Alfred's oath man. And if you go to Wessex, you're going to be killing me. You're going to be killing men like me. Mm-hmm. What do you think? I know we chatted about it a little bit last episode, but I want to continue to go down that road. What do you think Leah Fritsch represents to Uhtred?
The part of Uhtred that does love Wessex. Think about it. He's fought now a decade or more for Wessex. He's built a home there. He's had friends there. And he is this wonderful dichotomy of Dane and Saxon.
Yep.
And he's been living the Saxon life for a while. And for the most part, he's been treated pretty well. I mean, we think about the massive time jumps that have happened between seasons or between episodes where nothing really happened, which means he was living a pretty posh life.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of his life as a Dane, as we're seeing here, it's just turmoil, people vying for the power and everything, the life of just like constant pillaging. I think there's a part of him that knows a lot of his heart. A lot of his home mm-hmm. is actually Wessex. So,
and, you know, the show keeps going back to the well, and it's not a bad thing. It's something that I think the show is really intent on exploring. It's Uhtred's loyalty, mm-hmm. and not only that, his identity. The show keeps going back and forth in extremes to. He's a Saxon or he is a Dane. And, you know, on one hand, we have Breda, who is full Dane. And on the other hand, in this particular episode, we have Leofric, who is full Saxon. And Uhtred is in the middle. The funny thing is that he had to ride to Dunholm to save his life from the Saxons. Yet now at this point, he has gotten to a point where he is no longer accepted by the Danes. Mm-hmm. Where does Uhtred go? And the scene between he and Ragnar, to me, is heartbreaking because the one person that has stood by his side the entire time,
yes.
regardless of these troubles, regardless of which way Uhtred is being pulled, is Ragnar.
Yeah.
You know, Breda was the one who kind of pushed him out, like mm-hmm. said, no, you're nothing. You know, and obviously we have Alfred pushing, Uhtred out.
What would you do? If you were Uhtred, whose side would you be on? I'll tell you what I would do. I would sneak attack, Mission Impossible, get my kids out of there and stay with the Danes. Even though they're reckless, I want to be with Ragnar.
Well, the show does something very interesting here. And it shows you how smart Æthelflaed is. Because she doesn't rely on this oath that she kind of coerced Uhtred to take. She doesn't use that as leverage against him. In fact, she does the opposite. She instructs Beaca to release him of that oath. And now it's become a matter of trust and choice. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that Ragnar talked about reputation and honor, whether it was leading a group of Vikings to take over Wessex or Uhtred staying in the Dane camp. Both of those things, he specifically says these are about reputation and honor. You know, I think Æthelflaed is calling on Uhtred's choice to be honorable. She's calling on his reputation.
Yes.
The same way that Ragnar was doing for Uhtred. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes this choice difficult for Uhtred, right? There is real repercussions here. And it's a real thing. I always talk about that. Choice is so important in a television show. If something is wholly good, or on the other hand, something is wholly bad, you're always going to choose the wholly good thing. It's not a choice.
Well, and then you sit back and you're like, Ragnar is his brother, but not really. Like his adopted brother, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
You think about Uhtred. He, for his first, 10 years of his life, 8 years of his life, was a Saxon. Mm-hmm. And he keeps talking about how he wants to go back to Bebbanburg. Is he planning on having Bebbanburg become a Dane place? Because Bebbanburg is Saxon. So he was a Saxon, adopted by Ragnar's family. Wasn't really like, but he got to know Ragnar quite a lot,
yeah.
You know, because they got to hang. So yeah, grew up with Ragnar, had that relationship. Man, he goes back and forth. It's tough. But that's what I'm saying is that Uhtred is a very fun character to watch because, like you said, there's this gray area. There is no, this is the right choice.
Yeah, right. And that is when you know you have good writing because you can make an argument both ways. Mm-hmm. Go with Ragnar. Stick with everything. And yeah, you probably lose Team Uhtred, Like, you're going to lose Finnan and Sitric and Osferth.
I cannot lose Finnan.
And Finnan, Finnan is right, by the way, when he's saying, what are we doing? Like,
agreed.
We can't go back and kill all these people. If you want to go north and go to Bebbanburg, now that's a fight we can get behind.
Agreed.
But we're going to be kicked out of this place, and then we're going to be kicked out of Wessex. Where else are we going to go? What are we going to do here? That is something that's true. So if Uhtred stays with Ragnar, yes, he is gaining his brother back, but he's also losing his chosen family, that one that he himself mm-hmm. has created.
Yep.
And there is some, I mean, we have talked about it earlier, but there is some regret here about his kids. Like, he has a family there. He's going to have to get them eventually.
I'm surprised Finnan didn't throw that card down. I'm surprised Finnan wasn't like,
he did, but in their own terms, like yeah. in their through their own prism. Like, I got people back there. I have a family. I got a wife and kids, you know, if Sitric
yeah.
does.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard choice. And then on the other hand,
and then all that sways him is Ethelfled.
This is why I'm saying she's the dark horse. And now here's the question. I think this is what I was going to ask you. We have mentioned this before, but has the show earned this relationship, Ethelfled
no.
and Uhtred?
No.
I totally agree.
They have not.
There is no reason, no textual reason, in my opinion, so far, that Ethelfled should be able to convince Uhtred
when Finnan, Sitric, Osferth, Beyaka, all these other people can't. His own kids can't. Ragnar, you know what I mean? Like, she has a bigger pull on him than anyone else.
And right I don't now. Understand why. Me I'm too. Not saying that it doesn't exist, but I don't understand why. There has been nothing to show us that there is some baseline.
Aside from the kiss.
Yeah, but even then.
I know.
Whatevs. You know, like, how much is he, she's in Mercia. How much is he really seeing her? How much did he really hang out with her, you know, in season two? Very little. I suppose the argument could be made that because Beyaka and Team Uhtred and now Ethelfled are calling on Uhtred to leave Dunholm, maybe all of that combined?
Yeah.
Topped with Leofric?
He had a pros and cons list, and then Ethelfled broke the tie.
Yeah. I think it could be argued that way.
Okay.
Hey, is Ethelfled's messenger Mrs. Fig from
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm telling you, it's Mrs. Fig.
Really?
I will look this up. Hold on. I will.
No, I'll look it. You look keep talking. Yeah.
It's all I could see when she was talking to Beyaka. I'm listening to her voice and I'm looking at her.
I think
her.
She'd be much older.
Well, I think they aged her up a little bit in Order of the Phoenix.
Okay, let me see.
But all I could see was Mrs. Fig. Oh, Harry, you know, like, I'm telling you that that was Mrs. Fig. For all you Harry Potter nerds, you get this.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. But I just wanted to throw that out there. Ethelwald is a fascinating character right now.
Agreed.
The first question I have for you, Mary, is, are Ethelwald and Uhtred the same?
No.
Ethelwald does make a compelling case that they are the same. I think on a very... oh, basic level, you know, with the uncle and the king and the kingship and, you know, you were supposed to have Bebbanburg, I was supposed to have Wessex, and, you know, now we're here and we're defying our empires and or our kingdoms and, you know, I think that's fair.
I don't think it was her, Blake.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Well, let me see if I can, let me ask you the question.
No, I don't.
Let me ask you the question.
I don't care enough.
But I will say this. He has played it absolutely right. Ethelwald has. He's got everybody riled up. I mean, stirred up like bees in a bonnet. He's got everybody going. Do you believe that this whole thing falls apart the way that Uhtred says that it will? And will it be Ethelwald's fault that it all comes apart?
Ooh, that would be fun. I mean, here's the thing. Ethelwald's been playing this long game. I mean, we remember where he was doing the, you know, the guy coming up from the dead. Like, that was a long game lie.
Yes.
So I don't think it's going to all fall apart in the sense that he gives up. Unless he dies this season and then he's done. But he keeps trying. He's resilient. And he's got a great wardrobe.
He does.
He, with
his,
you know...
Sorry, with his elven cape.
He's dressing for the job that he wants.
Yes, he is. You know what? He's trying to manifest it. He's putting the secret out there.
Yes.
He's secreting it the best
yes.
ability that he can. Is. Ethelwald is playing it right, especially there is this great transition where Uhtred is going up to him being like, did you go see Ethelred? What'd you tell him? And you can see Ethelwald kind of collapsing in himself a little bit. But then something clicks, and he recognizes at this moment, in a way that I think Littlefinger would do.
Agreed. From Game of Thrones,
yes. He took that weakness and he made it his strength.
Mm-hmm.
He took that that fear and used that bias against Uhtred to make him look better in front of all the Danes and actually call him out. It was a very unique turnaround. On the other hand, the match to the Littlefinger of Game of Thrones and what's it called? In the game piece of it all, the chess making of it all is Varys. And Varys felt very much like it was Aldhelm. Going to save Ethelfled and telling her, your husband is coming for you. Are you getting Varys vibes from Aldhelm?
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Who's Aldhelm?
The Ethelred's like right-hand man. The one that has the Lloyd Christmas haircut.
Lloyd Christmas haircut.
Yeah.
I don't think he's Varys, but... I appreciate that he's fighting for the good of Mercia. So well, I see yeah. how you're seeing that.
That's why I'm saying, like, he is the one that is putting the kingdom first. And I like the fact that he...
He's not going to survive. I bet you Ethelred kills him because it catches ooh. Him being a cheat.
This is a good one. And you know what? There is some great foreshadowing here with that when Ethelred just kills this guy.
Because we haven't really been able to see him battle too much. We don't... He's not even good. He didn't even kill a guy with the first thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he is ready to just snap at a moment. So, yeah.
I
don't trust him.
I kind of agree with you on this one, Mary. I think there's going to come a tipping point. Either Aldhelm has to kill Ethelred or Ethelred kills Aldhelm. Because Aldhelm says he is not the king that I thought he was going to be.
Yes.
There has to be some...
He's lucky that wasn't recorded.
Just running around with his microphone.
Yeah.
His little USB mic. There has to be some kind of reconciliation here. I think narratively, but also with the characters. They're on a course that must intersect at some point. Aldhelm and Ethelred. And... My gut tells me that you're right. Ethelred kills all of him. Because it would be great if Ethelred dies.
Yeah, but he
it's
can't
better
come.
If he lives.
Agreed.
And Ethelfled should be the one that either gives the order or she does it herself to kill Ethelred. Something along those lines.
He doesn't deserve to die just yet.
No, he does not. He deserves to be put in front of Uhtred, I think. And there needs to be some kind of reckoning, if you will. So, Mary, we began this conversation with Uhtred's loyalty and his identity. And right now, he's
leaning Team Wessex, Team Saxon.
So do you think he goes back to Alfred now? Like,
no, I think he's going to go try to save Ethelfled like he just did last season.
Yep. But he's neither Saxon nor Dane now. And I don't know if it's a coincidence that Skade has been brought back into the picture, especially, dude, kissing Skade like the way that he did in front of Bloodhair. Savage. Savage.
Also gross.
Just staring at him.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was that. You just bodied him to the center of the earth.
And why would you want Skade? She wants Uhtred now.
And see, that's the thing. Like, well, I mean, whatever. So what? I mean, Bloodhair has got his, you know, he's got his things going, and he wants Skade. You just kind of have to accept the fact that he wants her. Does Uhtred really want Skade? That's a real question.
I think Uhtred's just lost right now, and he doesn't know what he wants, as we've been able to see between these two episodes. He's just lost.
I would agree. I would agree. I don't know if it's a coincidence that he's done what he has done with Skade right now, and he's going to fight Bloodhair for Skade.
And you know, like, he's going to live because it's his show.
It's his show, so he's got to live. So there has to be something that either he does kill Bloodhair or something intervenes like it did with the fight between he and Leofric. I don't think it's a coincidence that there is this question of identity, and now Skade is filling that role of identity for him because he doesn't have one. And as Bloodhair does say, she becomes part of you. Your blood becomes her blood. I think this puts him down a path that could be a really ugly path. What do you think?
I think I don't want her anymore. I want him off this path. I'm done with Skade, but obviously she has to serve a greater purpose because she's been here all this time and I don't know what it is. I don't trust her.
Yeah, I don't trust her either. I'm still out on Skade. I mean, I'm not fully out on Skade, but I'm like 85% there.
I'm upset for Breeda.
Why are you upset for Breeda?
Listen, Breeda's had a rough life, okay? She was stolen from her Saxon parents, meant to go live with these Danes, kind of became adopted, but I also kind of felt like she wasn't necessarily the sister. She was more like the, you know, farm girl.
Mm-hmm.
She fell in love with Uhtred, had a miscarriage. Uhtred chose Wessex over her. Then she goes off to Ragnar and can't have babies.
Hmm.
And he's having babies with someone else. That woman, she's going to be in a dark place.
By the way, not Mrs. Fig. Just looked at it.
I know.
Just looked.
I told you that 20 minutes ago.
No, I know, but I just wanted to make sure 100% guaranteed that it was not Mrs. Fig. Not. Looked like her, though. Oh my God, it was like straight up almost like a carbon copy of Mrs. Fig. Mm. Throwing that out there.
Okay.
You got anything else you want to say in this episode?
No. Nope.
All right. I don't think so. Oh, lastly, last question.
Okay.
This is the third episode in a row that ends on Uhtred's face, like kind of concerned and questioning and slightly confused.
And ends with, yeah.
I can see why some people don't like this soundtrack. I get it. It can be grating.
I'm one of those people.
It can be grating at points.
No.
But this is the third episode in a row. Is that coincidence or is that thematic, do you think?
How about you answer this? Because I don't really care.
Mary's not in a good mood. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay.
No, I'm just saying that isn't something that I pay attention to. You care about the shots. You see the lighting. You shine light on this. I didn't even notice.
It feels a little lazy.
When I hear the person start to sing, I turn my head away because I find it abrasive.
It is a little abrasive at some points. Some of it's very beautiful. Some of it, ugh.
Not this part.
I feel like the show is too smart for it to be just laziness.
Okay.
Maybe
he's going to get a new scar. And it's like, enjoy this face while you can before he turns like cut up.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I buy that.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I can co-sign on that take. Maybe they're just doubling down on the divided loyalties of Uhtred, and each episode must end with Uhtred in a precarious position. You can definitely tell, by the way, that Netflix has produced this season. The way that every episode ends with a relative cliffhanger.
Yes.
It is urging you to keep going. I mean, just
keep up the binge, baby.
Yeah, just binging these bad boys left and right. Like, after they say, okay, we're going to fight, I'm like, Mary, we have to keep going.
And yet we can't because we need to podcast. Yes.
I know. So that is that. Since Mary already gave you a Destined to Be Theory of the Week.
You're welcome.
We will close the show out. Fair enough?
Fair.
Before we close, I wanted to remind you to go to the Mary and Blake store for all of your holiday needs. I've been thinking about doing some ugly Christmas sweaters for the Mary and Blake store.
Oh.
Thought about that. Maybe we'll get some Last Kingdom ones in there.
You're going to have to hurry up, honey, because people need to order them quick.
I know. So if you are looking to go to some Christmas parties or holiday parties, or you want to give out some ugly Christmas sweater gifts or just Mary and Blake gifts for the Last Kingdom or any of the other collections that we have there at the Mary and Blake store, go to themaryandblakestore.com and check that out. Let's close it out.
Okay. In addition to the Mary and Blake store, I want to remind you that these podcasts are also sponsored by MinuteWithMary.com. It is your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. And this, the month of November, I am running for a huge promotion with my beauty business. So if you need to get yourself something just to spruce yourself up for the holidays, or if you're looking to gift something to someone who does enjoy beauty or skincare products, I would love it if you checked my site out, MinuteWithMary.com. We do have a discount, and I'm actually going to be switching it up. If you go to minutewithmary.com/discount, you can get my famous, earth-shattering, amazing mascara, my 40 fiber lash mascara at a 15% off discount since you are a podcast listener of ours.
Look at you.
So Blake's going to switch that up. So if you want to treat yourself, or it's a great stocking stuffer, but it gives amazing results, really makes the lashes super dramatic, and everything on my site does come with a love it guarantee.
Treat yourself.
On that note, my name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.